Well, we're starting off a new series today called Core Strength, and we're going to see how many things in the physical realm parallel things are in the spirit realm. We can learn things about the spirit realm by learning things about the physical realm, and things also that take place in the spirit realm are also seen in a physical way in the physical realm. And we're talking about how that relates to us knowing God, connecting with God, seeing more of God, growing in our spiritual capacity. Oh my. Okay, Office fans, how many Office fans we have in here? Man. Yes, Michael always thinks he can do things and he actually can't do them, you know, but he thinks that he can. He did a 5K. How long is a 5K? How much? 3.1 miles? Okay, so very few of us would just expect that we could wake up and complete a 5K. Some of us could complete a 5K if we weren't training, but we wouldn't do as well. But very, very even fewer of us would think if we did a 10K, which if it's 3.1, 6.3 miles, very few of us would expect that you could just wake up one day and do well on a 10K just because you were trying. And of course, all of us know you can't just get to the beginning of a marathon starting line and finish that marathon if you have not been disciplining yourself. We know this in the physical realm. There is no growth physically without a level of training. And yet we expect to grow spiritually, to sense God, to feel more of His love, to feel more of His presence, to feel more transcendent understanding without ever training. And all I'm trying to help us do today is make the connection that things in the spirit world mirror things in the physical world. And we all know that I cannot build myself, I cannot build a muscle, I cannot build aerobic capacity unless I work myself out physically. And today we're looking at what it means to work ourselves out spiritually. What's at the core of where we are? See, here's what I know. There are things that you want to experience that you will not experience unless you work your core. There are things that you will need that you will not get unless you work your core. There is pain and trouble coming your way. I don't know when it is. Could be in a day, could be in a decade. None of us are immune to it. And there is stuff coming that we will not endure through unless our core is strong. There is stuff that will wipe out our faith, wipe out any understanding of God unless our core is strong. There are things that you want to see that you will not see if we don't exercise our core. The core is the stuff that's important. See, when we go to the gym, if you go to the gym, you know that those exercises like this, these kind of bicep kind of things, these make you feel good because your biceps get a little bit of a pump and you can kind of walk around like this and people can see what you look like and all that kind of stuff. You kind of get the accolades. You know, when I was younger, if I worked out, I wanted to work out in a way that would make me look good. I wanted to look good. And then the older you get, you realize, well, these are fine. I don't mind looking bad. But you start to realize there's these exercises like planks. You know, and you do these suckers here and, because you're building your core. I was practicing this yesterday and the gymnasts were back here and they started laughing at me. Like, this was hard. I said, you know, you give yourself 3 decades. We'll see how you do on this, you know. So, This is working my core muscles from which all strength emanates. Now, when I get done doing these things, I don't feel that I look any better, but I know that I'm stabilizing myself and creating a better base for fitness. And that's why many of us don't do the core stuff because we don't look better, but it's the stuff that people don't see, it's the stuff that you won't get noticed for, that is the source of your spiritual greatness. It's the spiritual core exercises. Now, my greatest hero is a person by the name of Jesus. You might have heard of him before. He was of incredible spiritual power. The Bible teaches, and Christ followers have always believed, that Jesus was fully God and fully man at the same time. Amazing how that all fits together. And I can learn something from him, and we can all learn something from him about how he grew, how he became the person that he became. In the book of Luke, chapter 2, it gives us a little glimpse into this when it says this. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. And as Jesus grew up, he increased in wisdom and in favor with God and people. Now, Jesus certainly had a leg up on the competition by being born as God. So certainly, he was going to do better at this than any of us ever will. And certainly, the grace of God, that is stuff that God did for him that he didn't do for himself, was on him. Grace comes to all of us, stuff that we've not earned, but it just comes to us in various forms. But don't miss out there that Jesus didn't just become who he became. Jesus didn't just come the most powerful and central figure in world history by which we date time. He didn't. He grew in that. He grew in wisdom and stature. There was core strengthening exercises to his spiritual core that he had as a part of his life. And it caused him to increase in wisdom. It caused him to increase in the power of his prayer. It caused him to increase in the knowledge of the character of his heavenly Father. It was these spiritual core exercises that were the heart of his greatness. A few things about your core. Why is it that you want to work out your core? Why we want to have all of us work out our cores? Because when you increase your core, what you do is you increase your capacity. Working your core is about increasing your capacity. When your core is strong, you have more endurance. When your core is strong, you have more capacity to lift heavier objects. When your core is strong, you increase your capacity because you have fewer days when you're physically incapacitated. It's about increasing your capacity. It's about being able to lift larger things. It's about being able to focus throughout the day because you're not worrying about your bad back or this or that because everything is tied together really well. I know one thing is probably true of all of us, if at least most of us, is that all of us would want more. All of us want more of God. We want to sense more of God. We want spiritual things to happen to us. We want more transcendent experiences. I do. Who else does? I do. That's probably why we came here today, right? There's a problem, though, in that if we're buying into the wrong paradigm, we're going to be shortchanging ourselves. Most of us, though we have never called it this way, live by what I'll call the lightning bolt paradigm. We want to grow and sense God, and we think that it happens when a lightning bolt strikes us. We just think that we should go about living our life the way we want to live it, ordering it the way we want. All of a sudden, I felt God. Oh, man. Oh, that is so good. Oh, that's it. We think that if we're not feeling God, if we're not sensing power, if we're not growing in areas, the problem is God. The problem is you're not doing for me what you seem to be doing for other people. And so what we do is we go around trying to figure out where to get the lightning. We'll go to a different church. Hopefully lightning will strike there. We go find a different spiritual guru who has a new latest book on the best-selling list. And we read it thinking, oh, maybe the lightning will strike there. We do that. We just look around waiting for lightning to strike. And then eventually we're not feeling the lightning strike. And what leads then is to bitterness with God. And then doubts. And then the abandonment of faith. And then agnosticism. And then maybe atheism. I mean, this is the way it goes. And yet it's because it's founded on this understanding that if I just go through my life, I should get lightning bolt experiences and I should sense God. Doesn't work that way. Doesn't work. For sure, lightning bolts do happen. For sure, God every once in a while breaks in and zaps you with something or allows you to see something you hadn't seen before. For sure. Now, my lightning bolt experiences, I could count on one hand. Maybe two fingers. One, if I'm really honest and I can be specific. I like lightning bolts. Some of you might have had a lot more. That's wonderful. I wish God did in me what he might do in you if you got a bunch of lightning bolt experiences. But my survey of my life, my survey of every great person throughout the scripture, my survey of every great person that God has used from the beginning of time, is that is not normal. That's not normative. And yet, when we live and structure our spiritual life according to lightning bolts, we're only going to be frustrated. We're only going to be weak. I would never expect that my core would all of a sudden just be stronger. I never have a bad back and I go in the chiropractor and he says, oh, well, here's the x-ray. Here's what it is. This and that. You need to do these exercises and think that, no, I don't have to do those exercises. That's not me. No, my back will just get better. We'll never think that. And yet in the spirit realm, We just think that we should grow and that God should do stuff in us. It doesn't work that way. Actually, it's more like the mountain climbing paradigm. Did a mountain recently. I'm generally not a hiker, but we did a mission trip, family mission trip this summer, and we decided to do a hike one day with a bunch of folks and said, okay, that's fine, we'll do it. So this is at the beginning of the hike. We climbed one of the, if not the tallest peak in Central America. It took us 5 hours to get to the top of it. And we came through the tree line, and this is where we stopped to pause, and you can see the volcanic ash under our feet. At this point, our group started to whittle down. When we started off, people shot out and they were going really fast. And I'm thinking, wow, I'm maybe not in good enough shape. I don't know if I can do this. These people have an incredible pace. And what do you know? People started off strong, but because they had not kept up with their fitness, many of them, they just eventually dropped off. Out really fast, but then just dropped off. Dropped off. And then as we continued on the day, we got closer and closer to the top, and we had this view. Very, very cool. Above the clouds, when you'd wait for these clouds to part, and all of a sudden they would part, and they'd be like, ooh, oh man, just kind of parted. And we saw things that other people were not able to see. This is what happens in the spirit realm. If you want to see things that you're not seeing, you have to go higher. And to go higher, you have to increase your core fitness. If you want things that you don't have right now, you have to train yourself. You have to put yourself in a place where you can experience God and understand Him. If you want to go through enduring times when there's just a bunch of crap that's hitting the fan, you don't endure because all of a sudden you just figure it out in the moment. No, you endure because you've built spiritual core strength. Increases capacity. What was core training about? It's about exercising what matters. It's about core exercises, exercising what matters. We're going to talk about three things this series. They are the core exercises to building your spiritual core. Number one is the Bible. The Bible. When I look at Jesus' life, we see that the Bible, reading the scriptures, was throughout his life. He increased in wisdom because he increased in his knowledge of what's in the Bible. The Bible contains the story of God. It contains the character of God. It's how we know what fires God up. It's how we know what makes God angry. It's how we know what encourages God to move and say yes to prayers. It's how we know things work. And Jesus would bump into folks who were frustrated with him and they didn't understand where he got his power from. And here's what he said one time. He said, are you not in error because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God? You're in error because you just don't know the Bible. You just don't know it. I have this tendency to lust. And why is it that I work on that and I lust less than I used to? It's because when I read in the Bible, Jesus says, he says, if you lusted after somebody, it's like you've committed adultery in your heart. Now, certainly, if you commit adultery, the physical ramifications and the carnage is way, way more than if you have mental images of having, you know, doing inappropriate things with people. But nonetheless, I get educated and realize, man, this lust thing, when I do this, if I do this, I'm hurting my core. I'm making myself weaker. And I know that I'm in error when I do that because the scriptures is telling me the kind of things that I need to do to be strong, internally strong. And I only know what God is excited about and what he's bummed out about because he's given me his story. He's given me his word. It's the Bible. It's the Bible. It's a core strength and exercise. Jesus also pulls community around him. Pulls community around him. He's born into a family. You know, you think, you know, if he's God and he gets can do it on his own, he wouldn't need a family. No, he needs a family. We all need a family of some form. He's born into a family. He's got community that builds into him. He goes to his cousin, his name John the Baptist, and he builds into him spiritually and he stays in touch with him. He gathers 12 people around him that he pours his life into, and those 12 people also are with him in the end, and he calls them together and when he senses he's about to be killed, and he just wants his friends around him. Now, he didn't even make perfect choices there. I mean, one of those people was a loser. Total loser. Others had major problems, but nonetheless, he had 12 of them that was around him because he knew he needed other people in his life. He needed that. We need to learn how to have the right people in our life and how to do the right things in the right time with those people. He had community. And then finally, he prayed. And he didn't just say, I'm going to increase my prayer life. I'm going to pray more. He had a system. I don't say to myself, boy, I want to increase my cardiovascular abilities. I have to have a system. I have to say, if I want that, I have to go on the treadmill X amount of times or play this much of basketball and have this much rest. I can't increase in anything unless I have a system. And Jesus had a system for prayer. We see a glimpse of it right here in the book of Mark chapter 1. Very early in the morning while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. So apparently he had a system where he would go out in the mornings and have a block of time with God. Now let me just hit the pause button here and say this about this Bible prayer community. One of the reasons why I went through a time in walking with God where I abandoned these things is because I got tired of being clubbed over the head by people, being guilted into doing these things. The point of your life is not to know the Bible. That's not the point of your life. So those of you who brought big fat leather Bibles in here, I'm sorry to tell you that, but it's, you know, I'm glad you have your Bibles. I hope you read them and do it. Okay, so, but the point of the Bible is not, point of life is not to read and know the Bible. It's not the point of life. The point of life is not to have kumbaya circles with people in community. That is not the point of life. The point of life is not to pray. That's not the point of life. And when we think that's the point, all of a sudden there's going to be all kind of guilt systems like, you know, you have to read the Bible every year, all the way through in a year, and you have to have a block of time every single morning, because Jesus did in the morning, so you, every single morning, have to block of time in prayer, and everybody always has to have a small group experience where you're in a living room with a book on your lap looking at other people for an hour and a half a week. Everyone has to always do, you know, we get into these prescriptive ways, and we realize, no, the point is not the exercise. The point is the fitness. And Jesus in the Bible never says, thou shalt have a block of time in the morning to pray. But certainly, if you don't have a system, whatever that system is, whatever it is, you will not advance spiritually. You will not get stronger. There are things that you want that you will not get. There are things that you want to see that you will not see. There are things that you are going to need to endure through that you simply will not have the capacity to endure through. And the core exercises are these. These are the core exercises. There's other ones for sure. Long times of solitude, giving things anonymously, serving people anonymously when you don't get any strokes for it, but it's just between you and God. Those are disciplines. Giving generously. There's all kinds of other disciplines that are important. Fasting. But these are the three core ones. This is the stuff that has to be a part of the regular regimen. Maybe as we talk about the Bible next week, maybe you're going to find that the way you are going to experience the Bible is by listening to it on CD. Maybe you're going to find that the way you grow in prayer is by writing your prayers or any number of things, but you have to have a system where these things happen. See, I know what some of us are feeling right now. You're feeling like, man, Brian, you know, this sounds right. I understand where you're going. I see the parallels, but I'm just not a disciplined person. I mean, I'm just not a disciplined person. Hey, of all the scientific things I've read and looked at, I've never heard of a discipline gene. There is no discipline gene. There is none. There's no discipline gene. All of us at various points of our life were convinced that we would be better off if God had just given us the discipline gene. I used to say that. Oh, I'm just an undisciplined person. My college career took me 7 years to go through it, and I wasn't trained to be a doctor. It took me 7 years to do undergrad. Now, part of that is because I started working full-time, so I was going part-time. But other reasons is because I did not exhibit any discipline going through college. I would go to a class and I wouldn't study all that much, and I'd try to cram for the final, and I'd wake up in the morning and I would look at my watch and I'd say, man, I just don't feel like taking that final today. And I would not go in, and I would blow off the final and I would flunk the course. And I would take the whole course over again. I took accounting 1 3 times. I would take the whole course. Honestly, I did that more than once. That's also one of the things you do when your parents pay for all your education. You can do those kind of things. But, you know, you would have looked at me and said, you have no discipline. I said, yeah, I'm just not a disciplined person. Here's the thing. At that point, I didn't care about a college education. Whatever you care about, you discipline yourself for, whatever it is. You care about having lights in your house. Can you imagine Duke Light calling you up and saying, excuse me, ma'am, but you were 3 months behind in your bill, and you say, oh, I'm sorry, you don't understand. I'm just not a disciplined person. I'm just not disciplined. I can't go to the mailbox every day and look for the envelope and open the envelope, see how much it is, go to my checkbook, write it out, put it in a thing, stamp it, or have another system on Quicken or set up another thing with automatic bill pay. You understand. I'm just not a disciplined person. No, all of us find discipline that way, right? Because we all want lights to be on in our house. Those of us who have a car, none of us say, well, I know I should change the oil every 3 months or 3,000 miles or 6 months or 6,000 miles or somewhere in between there. I know that, but I'm just not a disciplined person. That just doesn't work for me, changing oil. Does all of us realize we have to do that? Why? Because we don't want to have to buy a new engine every 6 months. We want that. We want our cars to last. So we do that. Some of us are in here and you notice somebody sitting around you, it's pretty good looking. Yeah. I'm talking to people who aren't married right now. You know someone around you who's pretty good looking, and you know that you are going to have to incorporate some disciplines to get to know that person and build a dating relationship. You know that. You don't just walk around your life and expect like the perfect person is going to zap you. Lightning is, oh, perfect person, and here's a perfect relationship and everything. No, you understand that. You date that person, and when you drop them off, you like them. You don't say, hey, no, I love to catch up, and let's do this again sometime. But you have to understand, I'm just not a disciplined person. And I might lose your number, and I might forget where it is. If you want this thing to go, you incorporate disciplines. Anything that you want to have in every other area of life, there's things that you must do. Anything that you want to see, that there's core strength exercises you must do. Anything you want to do, we just know that. And yet, we live with this fallacy in the spirit life. If I'm not feeling right, then it's God's problem. Something's wrong. What's wrong is we have to work to develop our core. Just a few little hitters to keep us thinking here, and we'll look at these throughout the entire series. Start somewhere. Start somewhere. When it comes to our core, we need to just start somewhere. Right now for me, I spend about an hour every day before I hit the office in prayer and Bible. About every day. No, actually, I can't remember the last time I hit all 7 days. Can't remember the last time I hit all 7 days. And that's for me. It starts somewhere. Some days I might do more, some days I might do less. And the only reason I hesitate to say that is not because I feel any sense that, ooh, pastor just said he didn't do it every day. No, I don't find it. I've gone times where I don't do it a week. Just like I've gone a whole time where I haven't done any planks for weeks before, okay? So I'm not trying to tell all of us, here's the standard, everyone do this. No, I'm not saying it at all. I'm saying we all need to start somewhere. If you leave here today and you do 3 minutes a day for 2 weeks, that's 6 more minutes than 95% of everybody else who's in our room right now. In fact, we gave you a little program when you came in. Pull that out if you do. We're going to give you a little kickstart. We're going to do this every week. You'll see the back panel. It's got 5 days. 5 days here. And we didn't do seven because we knew 99% of us would never do seven. So why set us up to fail to begin with? And you know what? If you only do one, it's one more day than you did last week. All right. So what do you do? Start somewhere. So what we would do is I would just read this little verse in the Bible. If you're going, I don't know where that is. If you buy a Bible, you can look in the very front of it and there's a contents. Just go to that. And hey, by the way, some of us are kind of giggling at this. I've heard a couple giggles here. A couple giggles at that. A couple giggles when Jenny talked about Eckhart Tolle. If you've been around the church scene for a while, there might be things that you think are natural, but Crossroads started for people who don't understand any of this stuff. And that's the bread and butter of what we do around here. Now, it just so happens, if you're a seeker, if you're an agnostic, if you're a long, hardcore, seasoned Christ follower, the core training is all the same. If you want to get to know God, you have got to read the Bible. If you want to figure out whether it's true or not, you have to do this. If you want to grow further, you have to do this. These things, no matter where you are in your spiritual formation, it's what's necessary. So do that. Just look at that. Pray this prayer. And then maybe sit in silence and think about this prayer. And then if you know somebody else who's doing this too, to leverage community, if you bump into them, say, hey, did you do any of these 5 days? What'd you think about that? That's community. Start somewhere. Start somewhere. The other thing is, do what works. Do what works. When I read fitness magazines, if I'm in a waiting room or something, or if I'm flipping channels and I see some fitness channel, someone doing something, I'm always struck by how people are doing something that I'm not doing. And then I feel guilty. I'm like, oh man, I'm not doing that. Is that how many sets I should be doing? Is that the exercise I should be doing? Is that the this I should be doing? Is that how much aerobics? No matter what I see, no matter what someone else does, I start to feel guilty because I'm not doing that. And so I start to think, should I change it? Should I change anything here? You know what the best workout is? The best workout is the one you're doing. That's the best workout. The best workout is the one you're doing. Do what works. I've got the Bible up here on the screen. I'm reading verses. Guess what? You're getting the Bible. You're not getting the Bible only when someone reads from a book. What did people do before the printing press was invented for 1,500 years? People got the Bible before there was a book. It's God's words. It's His words. So maybe you'll do it on CD. Maybe you have some site that sends you a passage automatically to your email. Maybe you'll read through the Bible in years. Do what works. We'll talk more about this. Prayer. Some of us have very frustrating prayer lives because we can't do it the way other people seem to do it. Hey, some of us are going to find that when we pray, it's best to write down in a journal. Write it out. We're writers. Others of us have these incredible imaginations that God's given us, imaginations to draw pictures to Him, and we can communicate with God through our imagination. Some of us, we're walking around. Our friends from South Africa, when they pray, they like walking around and talking like this. Keeps them moving. They walk and talk. And so some of us are going to want to do it. Some of us, you might want to kneel. Some of us want to sit in a chair and be quiet and just think to God. Do what works. Do what enables you to talk with God. Community. All kinds of different ways to do that. The best workout is the one you're doing. And another thing we're going to learn is that be patient for gains. Be patient for gains. None of us would ever go to a gym and expect after a week to look different. None of us would ever go to a gym and expect after 3 workouts that all of a sudden, we have no more back problems. We're patient for it. And then all of a sudden, one day, you realize, wow, I just had to run up those 2 flights of stairs to get my meeting, and I can function where that other person, they're like huffing and puffing for 5 minutes. Wow, I would have been like that 6 months ago. There's these moments where spiritually you realize, wow, I should be really stressed out right now, freaked out, because I hear they're downsizing my workforce. I should be freaked out in a sense of fear, but I've got this peace and confidence and transcends all understanding. Ooh, I remember reading that Bible. Transcends, this is what they're talking about. I feel this. I'm not losing sleep and as fearful as everybody else was. All of a sudden, you realize one day, wow, that person who I used to judge because they vote differently than me and I used to feel superior to them, now I realize, well, that was judgmentalism. And now all of a sudden I see things that they believe that might be in the Bible, and even if I still think they're totally wrong, I find out that I still have compassion for that person. Where did that come from? All of a sudden there's moments where it says, ooh, I see it. I see it. I see it. What happened? What happened was you were doing something. What happened was you were training yourself and now you get the payoff. But you got to wait for gains. If you go out and you say, well, I did this thing for 3 days. Nothing happened to me. Yeah, it won't happen to you for 3 days. It won't. But all those 3 days, you're still spending time with God. You're giving the possibility for something to happen, and you're building core capacity. See, God is not an awareness. He's not an awareness. I talk with people, just talk these days about, I want to grow, and I'm growing in awareness. And I'll say, awareness of what? And I'll say, awareness of me. So your spiritual growth is about you? Well, no, it's It's about, you know, my God concept. And so you're growing in your God concept. So it's just thoughts you're trying to continue. Well, it's more than that. It's about seeing things are one and awareness. And I'll say, well, the big difference is I see God as a personal entity who is knowable and can give power and can come and comfort and can come and heal. I'm not trying to grow just in some aura of awareness. I'm trying to grow and understand the individual entity that gives life and designs things and can give power that transcends those understanding. Who can bring a lightning bolt, but most likely works through the disciplines of our ongoing relationship. This is what God does. A relationship. And all of us who have a relationship right now, whether it's your kids or someone you're dating or your wife, again, you know that you don't say, I'm just an undisciplined person. I really can't parent. I know I should read to him, but I'm just not a disciplined person. I just can't read to him at night. I know that I should remember anniversaries, but I'm just not a disciplined person. I mean, I can't do. All of us know that in the relational realm, everything is about the systems. Everything is about the core strengthening. This is the way it is with God. He is a relational entity. Actually, he exists in community. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He is about community. He's about personal, intimate interactions. And this is why these relationships, this relational core strengthening, is so important. See, when we do these things, we get to know God better and we get everything that comes along with it. We get to know God better and we get all that comes along. We get new levels of understanding. We get new endurance levels. We get better clarity on the things that we need to do and be about. We're able to make decisions in the workplace better. We're better able to understand what our career path should look like because we know God better. Now we've come to understand how He's made us, and some jobs aren't right for me and might be for somebody else. We get the sense when something catastrophic happens that God isn't surprised, and somehow, some way in this, there's gonna be something that comes out of it, even if we don't understand what that is until we die. We understand there's a purpose behind this. We get all these things that come with it. When did this start to really sink in for me? There's probably different moments in my last 25 years of walking with Jesus where this stuff started to sink in for me. But I started to get a different vernacular around this several years ago when I went to the gym to play some basketball. And at that point, I would just play basketball in between games. I would just kind of sit and wait to play again. And so I was somewhat fit, but not all that functional. And it really came to clarity for me when I went to my locker, took off all my clothes, was bending down my locker to get something. And when I went down, all of a sudden, my back went, it just like, everything just like tensed up. Because by genetics, I have a slight curvature in my spine. By genetics, I'm not all that in terms of my core. By somewhat genetically, we have maybe a better core. Doesn't mean it shouldn't be strengthened, but you might have genetically a better core than I do. Well, physically, genetically, I don't have a good core. So I went down, all of a sudden, everything tightened, and I collapsed. I collapsed on the floor. I just went down in a heap like this on a floor, naked, and I couldn't move. I'm just like this on a linoleum floor going, make sure I'm okay. I'm like this, naked, on the floor, and this friend of mine comes and he walks by. And he keeps going. He keeps going. They call me where I play basketball. They call me Preach because they know what I do for a living. So he just walks right on by. But 5 minutes later, I'm still in the same position. I can't move. And he comes back and he says, "Are you okay?" I said, "No, I can't move." He said, "Well, I thought you were down there praying." I said, I choose not to have times of prayer naked on an linoleum floor in front of a bunch of men. That is not my preferred posture of prayer. So he helps me up. And I sit down, and the manager of this gym comes up, real nice guy, and I'm so incapacitated. He has to help me put on my underwear. You want to know humility? Have a grown man help you put on your underwear. I can't lift my thing. It's just this thing I'm talking about. I can't. And I realized, that was when I realized, you know, the core, it doesn't matter how well I might or might not be at basketball. It doesn't matter how good the physique looks. If the core is in place, nothing else matters. Nothing else. It doesn't matter how many Bible verses you can quote. It matters whether or not you use them and have applied them to your life. It doesn't matter how many small groups you're a part of. It matters whether or not you have people in your life that can support you, that you can build into and they can build into you. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how long you sit and meditate by yourself. It matters if while you do that, if you actually are talking to God and sensing Him talking to you in greater degrees. Because the point is the relationship. The point is not the exercise. The point is the spiritual fitness that comes from it. That's the point. The point is not how big my muscles can get. The point is whether or not I can be more stable. That is the point. The point is whether or not we live our lives in a place where God's at the center. The point is not having Bible knowledge, having the prayer thing checked off. The point is, at the center of my life, is there a relational entity? Is there a being that I know? Have I wrestled with who Jesus is? Do I have Him at the center? Or am I growing and understanding whether or not He should or should not be at my center? That is the point. That is where God wants us to go, is the relationship with Him. It's not about the exercises. It's about Him at the center. You know, today is the first day of the football season for the Bengals. I know that, yes, I know that I'm going home, and I got somebody in the family to DVR the game, so I'll miss the beginning of it. I love watching the Bengals. I'm going for them this year. I really do. I want them to do really, really great. But here's what I'll, yeah, I do. I do. Here's what else I also know. It's not likely for them to get beyond 500. Not likely, it could happen. And here's why. Here's why I say that. Is keep doing what you've always done, you'll keep getting what you've always gotten. I come from Pittsburgh. Lightning doesn't like strike Pittsburgh and all of a sudden the Steelers are good year after year. There's core disciplines that organization has. Core disciplines that they have that serve them. In fact, any business that you know, any relationship you know, it's not that someone found their soulmate. Maybe made the first year of the marriage better. Anything that is great over sustained time is because there are core disciplines that they found that builds into them. And until the Bengals, maybe they have new ones I don't know about, but until there's different core disciplines that go on, there's not a different path. Here, friends, there's all I'm trying to do this year. I'm trying to do this. Things are not going to get better. They're really not. You're not all of a sudden going to feel closer to God. You're really not. You're not all of a sudden going to pray things and they're going to happen. They're really not. You're not all of a sudden going to be positive in the midst of adversity. You're really not. Unless you have core disciplines that strengthen yourself. This is what I want for all of us. All of us. And it doesn't matter if you've been around and around God and following Him diligently for decades, or this is the first day you've ever considered God in your life. All of us in these disciplines. God, I'm praying that you would help us find the disciplines that work. You would help us to not feel guilty for the ones that we're not doing or the ones we're not doing as much as somebody else. But you would help us to just be content with where we start coming out of here today. And I pray these things according to your character that I saw in Jesus. Amen. See ya. Go Bengals.